Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. I just want to say again, thank you to all the men of this house. You're doing an incredible job. And I told Pastor Chelsea a couple weeks ago, I said, I really want to, now don't get me wrong, men, I'm going to challenge you this morning, amen? And there went all the pride in the room was in that moment of silence. Men said, I said, I'm going to challenge you this morning. But I'm also going to honor you because I feel like the church over the last few years has not done the best at honoring men for a few different reasons. And I feel like Father's Day is honestly, for me, it's one of the hardest days to preach. It is one of the most difficult days to preach in the American church for numerous reasons. And one is because we feel that we have to show tough love to men and we don't honor them well. Because in our American culture, we believe that love, when it comes from a manly source to ministering to another man, it has to be tough love. In other words, we got to really knock you down a bunch of notches, and we got to cut into some things, and we got to be really difficult and really hard on you, and I got to tell you how bad you're doing at your house and call you up better, and I got to tell you how you're failing as a man and how you're failing as a father, and then all of a sudden, I'm in the flag football world, and, you know, I'm all for challenging people to come to another level. My dad, he had high standards for me. It was always, he did not set the bar here, he set the bar here. But whenever he set the bar here, he didn't, whenever I didn't meet it, just go, ha, you didn't meet it. He set the bar and then he would help teach me how to reach that. And that's what I want to be for some men in this room today. And listen, ladies, this word is going to be for you too, because I'm going somewhere, just stay with me. But I want to call you up to another level with an encouragement as I honor you. I want to lift you up to help push you into who you're called to be as a man. Another way is that, another reason that it's hard to preach on Father's Day is because the American man doesn't listen and thinks he knows it all. How many of you men in this room will be honest enough in this church? I'm going to remind you, we're in church. God sees if you're lying in church. It's not lightning yet, but but how many of you in this church, be honest, men, and go, yeah, I know it. I know how to, you cannot tell me how to do something. Anybody ever buy something and never read the instructions because you already know how to put it together? Yeah, pride, pride. I open up the thing, I'm like, first thing, I'm like, where's the instructions? I don't know what I'm doing. We think we know it all, men. We think we know it all, and we think we know how to lead perfectly because we are following the American dream of leading. And the American dream of leading has been taught wrong because it's American, not kingdom. And can I tell you, the kingdoms of America and the kingdom of heaven is not the same. Just because we say one nation under God does not mean that everything in America is just so godly and holy. I could really ruffle some feathers, but I won't today. I won't. We'll save that for closer to, November? Yeah, we'll save it. I'll ruffle your feathers when we get closer to November. Y'all got to start growing some thick skin. Get some calluses on you, okay? The third reason is because of this, and I am sensitive to this, but because of what other people have went through with their own fathers, sometimes the church has not honored men for fear of offending people who have had difficulties with their own father. And that's unfortunate because men of God miss out on being honored when they should be. And what ends up happening is that the men of God no longer really want to be men of God because they're not being honored and respected as men of God because of other stuff that's taking place. Now, I want you to hear me. There's a balance, because I'm very sensitive to this, that I understand there are people in this room that you have not had. Listen, I am married to someone that didn't have the best relationship with her biological father. So I'm very sensitive to this subject, and we talk about this. But at the same time, we cannot, as the church, refuse to honor men of God because other men did not act right. You cannot refuse truth because of abuse of ways that people have done, okay? Now, I realize it can be difficult because you've been traumatized by the way your father left you or abused you or possibly hurt you, or maybe because they've gone on and passed away. Maybe that's a reason why Father's Day may be difficult for you, or maybe it's both. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But let me encourage you that he doesn't leave us. He's a perfect father. We learned about that last week as we kicked off the series, The Father. But on the heels of that, I want to honor the fathers of this house. Amen. We're going to continue in this series, The Father, looking at God's heart for us. But before that, I want to give you a couple statistics real quickly, because we talked last week about God being a perfect father. Now, I just need y'all to really start praying in the spirit with groanings. I got 9 pages of notes and 30 minutes. God be with me. All right. According to the U.S. Census Bureau of 2020, the current population survey by CPS, approximately 19.7 million children under the age of 18, or that is about 1 in 4 children, live without a father in a home. That's an incredible stat when you really think about it. And it's, I promise you, I'm giving these stats for a reason. When the father is first to find the faith in Christ, 93% of the time the family follows. When the father, as a man of God, you decide, I'm going to follow Christ, 93% of the family follows. Now, I want you to hear me, because I'm going to talk about this in a minute more. But if you are a single mother in this room and your husband is not present and you are having to fulfill the role, listen, I believe that God can give you a special grace and anointing to lead your family. Amen? Amen? Amen. However, God did create a divine order in the household, and we're going to see that in just a minute, through facts and studies of how people respond whenever a father decides, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a certain way. Now, once again, there's also special grace that I believe that God gives, a sovereign grace that God gives. In a fascinating article from, I'm going to give you some more real quickly. In a fascinating article from Touchstone reported a research linking a father's church attendance to his children's continuance in the faith. In homes where both parents attended regularly, 33% of their children ended up as regular churchgoers as it went forward. And 41% ended up attending irregularly, which means both parents attend church regularly. Nearly 3/4 of their children will continue on with some level of church attendance. Now, there's a shift when the father doesn't go to church. While the mother attends regularly, but he doesn't, in this situation, only 2% of their children will attend regularly, with a 37% attending irregularly. That leaves over 60% of their children devoid of any church life. Okay? I'm going to keep going. It gets thicker. At this point, none of this data should really shock us, because if both parents go to church regularly, it makes the sense the majority of kids would continue on in some capacity. Now, if the father attends regularly and the mother doesn't, now we're flipping the script. So remember, when the mother attends regularly and the father doesn't, 2%. When the father attends regularly and the mother doesn't, 44%. 44% of children begin to be regular church attendees. That is even higher than the children who have both parents who attend regularly. Now, ladies, I'm not saying stop attend church, okay? That's not what I'm saying. You heard pastor. I don't have to go no more because my kids go to church. You just go. No, that's not what I'm saying. But it is interesting to see that when men begin to attend church and show the importance of that to their families, the children begin to follow. None of this is to say fathers are more important than mothers. I want to stress that. God has given critical responsibilities to both parents in raising up their children in the faith. Yet, data is clear, if the father attends regularly, there is a better chance the children will do themselves once they are adults. Now, This is the unfortunate side of it. We know that women attend church more frequently than men. And while this data is about men and women, not mothers and fathers, it's well documented how often fathers are men and mothers are women. Duh. According to Pew Research, 53% of U.S. Christian women attend church, while only 46% of men do. So women show forth to attend church more. If the church's mission is to make disciples of all nations, including men and women, because both need the gospel, then if we want to create a greater impact on the next generation, we have to properly honor fathers and challenge them to be faithful to God and faithful to the local church. The church cannot overlook how to speak to men. And while I'm on this subject, as I mentioned a moment ago, God will give special grace to women that are raising their children without a father in the house. But also, women, let me encourage you with this. If you are a single mother in this room, get your child in church and be faithful in church. Because they need that in their lives. And the reason they need that in their lives is because they need to see exampled men of God who faithfully serve him and show forth the Father's heart and love. You know, that video we watched a moment ago, it really is the heart cry of our church. We see men and we are calling men to not live and do as the world and as media portrays, but to show forth the Father's heart towards children. So that's why we believe it's important, and we don't have this problem really, but we believe it's important that men get involved in children's ministry, in nursery ministry. We believe that is a very important thing in this church because kids need to see godly men, strong men. You want to know why I challenge our men to worship exuberantly? Because kids need to see that whenever I get old, I can still worship. Can I just let you know something, men in this room? You don't get to an age where you finally go, oh yeah, I'm too old to worship now. That is the most doofus thing I've ever heard. You are a doofus. Like, come on, man. Like, you are never too old to worship the Lord. You know, Bishop Hammond, he's my dad's spiritual father. He can't stand anymore during worship. But you know what he can do? He sits in his chair and he does what he can. My grandpa, he's 83 years old. He's slowing down a little bit. And you know what? He'll stand through the worship set for as long as he can. He'll lift his hand. He'll worship. He still enters in at the level that he can. I want to remind you today, men, you never get to an age where you can just stop worshiping. He's still God. He's still good. And he's still worthy of your praise. And if you've never, ever started worshiping, start now. Okay, men? Let's show forth what it means to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, with kids getting involved in, I'm going to say this. The fact is, many young men and women are growing up. We heard the stat a minute ago. There's 19.7 million kids that are growing up without a father or a mother in their household. Without a father in their household, 19.7 million. Their only view of a father is someone who abused him. The only view of a father is somebody who left them. The only view of the father that they have is things of that. But your job, men, is to show forth a better father to them. And it doesn't mean that you have to go to me, hey, I want to be your dad. No. Don't be weird. Don't be strange. You know what it means? It means, hey, how you doing, man? Good to see you, buddy. What's up, bro? Give him a fist bump. Hey, how's your week been? You give him a dollar. I love Mr. Donald. Mr. Donald, man, he used to give, we had a couple that used to come to our church, and every single weekend, Mr. Donald had a dollar for that kid. And that kid lit up the room. I mean, he was so excited whenever Mr. Donald pulled. That's love. That is showing the father's heart. Hey, I just want to give you something. No reason as to why. I don't have to have a reason other than I want to show love to you. And this is a way that you're receiving. So I'm going to give. I'll show it that way. And we wonder why kids are running from the church. We're wondering why kids have sexual identity issues. And it's because the father's heart has not been present in the church among men. We have put up a hard shell. A lot of us have. And this whole series, my prayer is not only that people in this building will find healing that have had that abusive relationship with their father or the abandonment relationship with their father, but also that the men of God in this room will see what it means to be a father, what it means to show forth the love of the father. And listen, for those of you that have a good relationship with your kids and you are serving the Lord, you still need to be faithful to church. Men, you still need to be faithful to church. You want to know why? Because you don't have all the answers, and your kids might need another perspective from another man of God, from another person who has the heart of the Father. You know, I can look back on my life and see men of God in my life that spoke faithfully into my life and gave me wisdom and counsel in certain times. Your kids need community just like you do. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. You need community in your life. Joshua said it like this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's talking about his home, but he realizes before I can expect my family to serve the Lord, I first have to serve the Lord. We often as men go, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And really actually what we say is, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. As for my house, we will serve the Lord. Because you somehow can take yourself out of me serving the Lord. You should go, as for my house. But Joshua, when he makes that statement, and this is not the message, this is free. I haven't even started the message. 9 pages. And I've given you the stats. We're really cooking with oil here, y'all. We're frying up something good. Joshua says, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. God created a divine order. This is where I was going earlier. God created a divine order in the home that begins with husbands and fathers serving the Lord. God created Adam and then created Eve for Adam. This does not mean that the wife is inferior to her husband, but in God's divine governmental order, the husband is the head of the household. And we could preach a whole marriage seminar just on that and you understanding what that means. Because it doesn't mean that you rule with an iron fist, okay, man? You are designed to lead your home, and the choice has to begin with you. However, you're still called to love and serve your wife. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loves the church and gave of himself for her. You can lead, but you're also supposed to serve. And that's the greatest way to lead, is to serve. We're going to talk about it. Y'all just stay with me for a second. This is all just an opening. You should never lead from control, but rather love. And love leads by an example. Don't tell your family to do one thing and you not be willing to do the other, Father. Dad's in this room. If you're going to tell your kids to worship, you better be the first one with your hands raised. If you're going to tell your son or daughter, they got to listen through the whole sermon, then you better be the first one that is listening through the whole sermon. You better not be touching your phone, playing on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Candy Crush, whatever it is that you like to play, Top Golf on your phone, whatever it is. I don't know. Among us, you got to talk to the different generations in this room. You better be the first one that's showing forth that example, or your kids are not going to be doing it. Don't tell your kids not to be cussing, and then you beep, 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 beep. Huh? Listen, Johnny, don't you be cussing or I'm going to whip your beep, 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 beep. That doesn't work. What kind of example are you setting? Huh? How are you exampling? How are you serving? I'm going to say it like this, and I'm going to actually start the message because I did write this down. Ruling with an iron fist, which is the kind of ruling and leading that many men like to do, but ruling with an iron fist might create the quiet that you're looking for. But quiet isn't the same thing as peace. Peace will bring quiet. Quiet does not bring peace. You understand what I'm saying? I can make someone be quiet, but that doesn't mean I have peace. But whenever there's peace, there will be a calm and a quiet that happens. So if you want to rule with an iron fist and just try to keep people quiet and don't you talk back to me, don't you question me, don't you... You will create quiet in your household, but there will be no peace in your home. If you want peace in your household, you begin to serve your family. You begin to be an active listener and listen to your family. Begin to love your family. Begin to do these things, and then you will find that peace and that quiet. We aren't aiming, listen to this. You may want to write this down, men. Men, write this down. I'm not going to ask you to write this down. Write this down. You aren't aiming to influence actions. You are looking to influence heart. Actions flow from the heart. So if I can impact and influence the heart of man, the heart of my children, then the actions will follow. But I can make my kids do certain actions, and the heart doesn't always follow. That's why you teach and train your children in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart. There's two parts to that, teaching and training. I teach my kids why we worship, right? And then I train them by telling them, no, you're going to lift your hands. It's two parts. This is why we do this. This is why we go to church. And now as training, we're going to get our butts up in the morning. We're going to put some clothes on and we're going to go to church. It's teaching and training. Now, today what I want to actually talk to you about, it just ties together. Y'all stay with me. I'm only going to go till 11 o'clock. Open your Bibles to Psalm 23, if you will. I want to talk to you real quickly, hopefully, about how, yes, God is the Father, and He is the Good Shepherd. As the Father, He is the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23:1 says this, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many of you know this? Some of y'all might have this memorized. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for what? His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? Why will we fear no evil? For you are with me. Who is with us? The Father, the Shepherd, the Leader is with us. So we fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This scripture is yelling the importance of this, that God wants to be your shepherd. God wants to be your shepherd, or this, the Father is a leader. He is a leader. So what is the heart of the Father towards us? He wants to lead us. And the psalmist says that where he says, the Lord, that's a declaration, the Lord, the Father, is my shepherd. Another word for shepherd would be leader. He is the one that is leading us, because it actually says that. What's it say? He makes me to lie down and he leads me beside the still waters. Shepherds lead. Now, I'm going to give you a subtext for this message today, a subtitle, if you will. And I want you to ask yourself this question today. Am I a sheep? And I really wanted to use another word, which is a King James word, but I couldn't use it because I was afraid people might get offended. So we'll just say mule. Fill in the blanks. Huh? It's in the Bible, okay? I mean it in the actual way. As Father, He has the ability to be the greatest leader and influence in our lives. Listen to me, you may want to write this down. The Lord can only be within our lives what we allow Him to be. The Lord can only be within our lives what we allow Him to be. You can emancipate yourself from the Father if you so desire. And then the Father has no legal right to speak into your life. He will only be what you will allow Him to be. If my son decided tomorrow, Dad, which he's not, okay? Dad, you're not my dad anymore. I don't accept you as father. that legally begins to take, now obviously there's legal action that has to begin to go into place, but that takes away my right to speak into his life and lead him and teach him and train him as a father would, right? You can decide, I am not going to listen to God. I am not going to read the word. I am not going to follow the unctions of the Holy Spirit. I am not going to follow the leadings and the guidings of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you are cutting off the Father from being the Father in your life, because he desires to lead his children. He wants that relationship with you. But here it comes into play. You've got to be submitted to being led, which is where, are you a donkey? Are you a mule? Are you a sheep? Bah. Psalm 95 says this, for he is our God, and we are the people of what? His pasture, the flock under his care. There's numerous scriptures where you can find, and I just pulled up one for us today, but there's numerous scriptures where you can find that equates people of God to sheep. Right. We were like sheep that had gone astray, is what one scripture says. But then Psalm 32, and I don't have this, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle. Now listen to this, sheeps and donkeys, or sheeps and mules, are very different animals. If you've ever been to a petting zoo, you'll know one is mean, one is very nice, very calm. Anybody ever had it said about you, man, you are stubborn as a mule? Anybody? A figure of speech? Okay. I know I have. You are stubborn as a mule, Micah. Yeah, I know. Sometimes it can be. Sheep are known for flocking instinct and tendency to follow a leader. They are relatively docile animals that respond well to gentle guidance and a calm presence. You know, that's how God leads us. He leads us gently. Does he correct us? Yes, but he doesn't cause bad things to happen to us as correction. He finds gentle ways to correct us. Mules, on the other hand, some of us, on the other hand, are known for their independence and stubbornness. They have a strong sense of self-preservation and resist following directions if they are uncomfortable with the situation. Sheep primarily communicate through body language and vocalizations within the flock, and they respond to the presence. Listen, this is a study, by the way, that I'm reading. This is not just, oh, this is what I think about sheep. This is an actual study I read on sheep. They respond to presence and movements of their shepherd, as well as the call of other sheep. In other words, as I'm following the shepherd, I'm not a good leader by myself. I've said it numerous times. I'm following the shepherd. And there's other people that are following the shepherd with us. And as one of you begin to maybe go off another way, we can begin to speak to one another, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, this is the way we were going. This is the way that I'm supposed to be going. This is the direction in which we are supposed to be. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And we're all going to go together. Together, we swim together. We're going to move together as sheep. We're going to move in the same direction in one accord together. And if somebody starts getting off course, go, hey, bro, we're going this way. That's not the way of the shepherd. This is the power of community, is whenever you're in community, there's people that are following a good shepherd that can speak to you and say, hey, come back. Yeah. Baby, come back. You can't blame it all on me. You decided that, but let's follow the shepherd, okay? Now, mules, they communicate through body language and vocalizations and tactile cues. They may use vocalizations such as braying to express discomfort or protest. And they rely on their keen senses to assess their surroundings. In other words, they are skeptics. They're constantly skeptical of the person that is trying to lead them. Shepherds say, yes, I follow you. I mean, sheep say, yes, I follow you. Mules go, I don't know about this. Are you a shepherd? Are you a sheep or are you a mule? The scripture urges us to humble ourselves and to submit ourselves to God's leading time and time again. I'm going to say it again. You'll only freely receive from the Father what you receive him as. The mule doesn't receive the leading because of its independence, where sheep are naturally submissive, therefore being able to receive proper leading. In other words, God can speak and speak and speak and speak. He can move and move and move and move. He can show you and show you and show you and show you. But if you are stubborn, you will not be led. I'm going to say it again. He can show you, speak to you, move all around you. But if you are stubborn, you will not be led. What is God's desire? As Father, he desires to lead you. So when he speaks, you listen. When he moves, you move. When he shows you a certain way to go and a certain way to do things, you begin to put that into action. Shepherd defined, the word shepherd defined means to tend to a flock, to pasture it, or to rule it. You must choose to make him your shepherd. You must choose that decision. He's a perfect shepherd and a perfect leader. Just say he's a perfect father. He's a perfect shepherd. He's a perfect leader. Now, what do shepherds do? They lead their sheep. They care for their sheep. They nurture their sheep. They guide their sheep. They train their sheep. They protect their sheep. They provide for their sheep. They truly father their sheep. That's what a shepherd's responsibility is. And the reason the psalmist acknowledges him as shepherd here is because he's realizing God is this. He is all these things. And then he begins to say all the things that he's doing, and it's literally everything a shepherd would do. God's a perfect leader. In John 16, Jesus promises on behalf of the great leader that he will send us the Spirit of truth to lead us to all truth, to shepherd us to all truth, so we get the Holy Spirit. In John 10 and 11 here, you see that says, I am the good shepherd is what the scriptures, where Jesus says. I'm going to give you a few different scriptures because Jesus is the greatest leader ever. How many of you in this room will agree that Jesus is the greatest earthly leader to ever walk the earth? Anybody? Anybody got a qualm with that? If so, let's talk, okay? Because I believe that Jesus is the greatest leader that ever stepped foot on the same earth that we are living on. So he says, I am the good shepherd. John 5:19. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing. This is why he's the greatest shepherd. By himself, he can do only what he sees his, what? I am the good shepherd. I can't do nothing by myself. I can only do what I see the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 12, verse 49 and 50. You can write these down or read them on the screen. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father, here's that word again, who sent me, commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. John 14:9. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of an invisible God. All of this is pointing to Jesus being the greatest shepherd that has ever walked the earth and shows forth what it means to shepherd people or to lead people. How did Jesus lead? He led by giving of himself and serving. The scripture says that he came to serve and not to be served. But even before that, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Then Jesus shows up on the scene and says, hey, I am doing what the Father has already told me and shown me to do. I am showing forth his shepherding now to people, and I'm going to serve as a way of shepherding or leading. So listen to this. This is where we're all culminating to. Y'all stay with me for a couple more minutes. So Jesus is basically saying here, I am the image bearer of God. Christ is the visible image of an invisible God, which means Jesus is the image bearer of God. Okay? What does it mean to be Christ-like? It means to be an image bearer of who? Christ. That's what it, Christian doesn't mean, oh, I don't have to go to hell. And I know that some of y'all holding on that coattail real hard. That it is your escape card. Christian does not mean I just don't have to go to hell. Christian means that while I'm here on this earth, I will be an image bearer of Jesus Christ. In other words, I will lead and I will shepherd people. I will help lead people to Christ. So he is the image bearer of God, and to be Christ-like means to be the image bearer of Christ. So Jesus here is creating a cycle of leading by example of the one who exampled leading. He is creating a cycle of leading by example of the one who, Jesus, who exampled by leading. There's a cycle that's beginning to take place. He is the great, listen to me, write this down. The greatest leader is a great follower. Jesus was a great leader because he was a great follower. He didn't say, me, 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 me. He said, God, 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 Father, 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 Father. Everything pointed back to the Father. Let me encourage you, church, today. Men of God, both mogs and wogs in this room, men of God and women of God. This is what I'm saying. Kids are coming. Jesus and the shepherd, he leads us. God leads us so that we can lead others to Christ. Amen? He leads us, faithfully leads us, faithfully serves us. So how do we do? What do we do in example? We should lead with love. We should lead with compassion. We should lead with humility. We should lead mirroring the heart of God as the good shepherd. I'm going to say again, Joshua said it like this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me encourage you again to serve the Lord faithfully, men of God. Don't tell your kids to do one thing and do something different. You begin to show forth that. Listen, can I tell you in your workplace? Come on, Reagan. Can I tell you in your workplace? Don't tell people this is how you should serve the Lord. I got an award. Sweet. You should show people. You should show people how to serve the Lord. You don't just say, oh yeah, this is the way you follow Christ. No, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You follow me like I follow Christ, as I follow Christ. Now, I'm going to end here because the kids are in here and I'm going to let everybody go. I don't know, I've already went long today. I had a lot to say. But I'm going to say this again. One of the greatest ways that you can lead is follow the example of God's leading, which is serving. Serving is the greatest way that you can lead your household. It is the greatest way you can lead at work. It is the greatest way you can lead as an employee. It is the greatest way that you can lead as an employer. It is the greatest way that you can lead as a mother. It is the greatest way that you can lead as a child. No matter which way you cut it, the greatest way of leading is serving. Now, I want to preface it with this real quickly. I'm in here. That doesn't mean that people won't try to take advantage of you serving. But everything you do it as unto who? Who is your vindicator? Who prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies? The shepherd does. Who brings you to still waters? The shepherd does. People may do one thing, but as I follow Christ, I lead different because Jesus showed a different way of leading. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Loving others is simply about serving well. Reagan said he's already standing up. Oh, I got another one. Look, here he comes without shoes on and an ankle brace. Listen, I do want to say this to our men real quickly. You know, God is an active listener. Men of God, be active listeners to your family. I know sometimes your kids ramble on for a long time and you're like, okay, I'm done. I've been there. Sometimes I'm still there sometimes. Do your best to be an active listener for your family. That's serving. When your wife wants to talk to you about your day and about her day, be an active listener. Prioritize family time. Prioritize meeting your family's needs. Prioritize protecting your family. Prioritize the house of the Lord for your family. Prioritize praying over your family. Prioritize leading your family well. Prioritize serving your family. That's the greatest way that you can lead, is by serving. It's not the greatest in the kingdom. That mindset gets you nowhere. Lead well by serving well. Do you receive this morning? Will you lift up your hands? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to receive of the engrafted word of God. I thank you, Lord, that today you've illuminated to us how you are a good father because you're a great leader. You desire to lead us and protect us, to listen to us. Even as your word says, cast your cares. We can cast our cares on you because you care for us. It means you listen to us. So, Father, we thank you for all the ways that you lead us and you guide us. Lord, we ask for today a special grace to help lead others properly in the way that you lead us. We want to be an active leader as you have led us. So, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that as we lead people, we're leading them to Christ, not to ourselves, but we're leading them to a relationship with their Savior. So, Father, we thank you for all these things. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise that's due unto your name. Thank you for everything you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Will you give God a hand clap of praise?